Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
You make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course, yeah. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Get it up.
One of those covers of the Video Store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep, what in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
A bunch of people are sitting out on a curb. Guy coughs, spits into the puddle on the street. All of a sudden a car comes by, splashes the puddle onto all the passengers. Cuts to the word coronavirus.
So it's been a month of being locked in. If no one had told me, hey, there's a global pandemic right now, I would have probably not known for the first couple weeks.
The state shut down everything with any public venues. I'm unfortunately considered essential, so I'm out in the world every day and trying my best not to kill my family.
How are you guys doing with this amazing global situation we find ourselves in? Happy quarantine!
That's the best way to ever explain why you're missing a moment ever, Dave.
Taco explosion while I was clearing my plate. I'm like, you're shitting me. You can never, nothing ever just works. That's the deal. Welcome to 2020. Nothing ever just works.
Yeah, right?
The movies have lied. The movies have lied.
Lies.
Oh, it shit, dude. So is that the new setup behind you, Chris, with the soundproofing on the walls? Is this the new office?
Well, you just missed. I gave Ian the entire tour.
That's impressive.
That's pretty good.
Well, poor, he's being nice. You know, I was like, look, and then here's this shelf with my VCRs and my Laserdisc.
I was impressed, sir. Thank you very much. The audacity, you say.
The audacity.
I appreciate it. You're a very kind man.
There you call into my kindness and the character, sir.
No, he was very, very kind.
Man, I feel like... I feel like we've become those brothers that'll probably make fun of each other, and then 5 minutes later, we're like, dude, you know I was joking, right? Like, come on.
Pretty much. Sorry, dude.
Hey, man, it's all love, bro.
Yeah, man.
Cool,
well, that's.
Yeah, cool. So here we are, all live and all recording.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Just in time, too, because last week was the third installment of the summer movies episode, and I'm like, yep, fresh out of new content unless I start releasing the alien stuff. And I'm like, gotta finish that one before we can start going there. So it's like, we should probably check in and see what's going on with the guys and say hi to the world out there and catch up too, because I feel like we were all on summer break from each other almost a little bit for a little while Ian was out in the wilds of filming. Oh my God.
Yeah, Ian went to film camp.
Oh my gosh. Let me tell you, that is a war. I don't like war.
This bodes well for us next summer. Spoiler
peace
alert, world.
Love, peace, love, and watching movies. That's what I say.
Spoiler alert, world. This bodes well for us next summer. I'll be going back to war, but on our turf. On home turf.
That's right.
Although, man.
I have a movie I want to talk about.
Nice. Okay? That helps because I had no plan for this.
I do because it's on in my background right now. Have you guys seen Knight Riders?
Knight Riders.
I'm thinking of Ghost Riders.
Oh, I was saying it's N-I-G-H-T, right? Not K-N-I-G-H-T?
Yeah. No, it's K-N-I. Okay, this is a George Romero classic. You guys have to watch this.
I'm
literally, look at the poster. This is Ed Harris's first
holy
movie.
Crap.
Oh, God. Yeah, I need it then.
Oh my god. Maybe not the first. Oh my god, dude, just look at the poster. Have you seen the poster yet, Chris? It's amazing.
My computer's a little slow to log in.
Holy shit.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm pressing play.
Listen to his reaction when he sees this poster.
I'm pressing play right now.
So it's Knight Rider.
Knight Rider, yes.
Riders, well, plural, right.
Yep.
Knight Riders from 1981, ironically, around the same time as the fucking show.
yeah, I can imagine there was
solid. Wow, dude, that poster looks solid. I like the
Gladiator
Ghostbusters font. Dude.
It's Gladiator meets Easy Rider, dude.
Bigger.
So
wow,
this is great. So this was part of the three. Oh, this is an amazing movie. Okay, this is part of a three-picture deal that was George Romero, and what came with this was, of course, a sequel to Night of the Living Dead, which was. Obviously, Day of the Dead.
Dude, we got boobies within the first minute here.
this movie is just incredible. And so it also came. This was Creepshow, and the Knight Riders. Now, how he did this movie? He wanted to do these Renaissance fairs where everybody does the battles and everybody goes to these events and the fighting. And George Romero was just fascinated by this thing. He took it to Samuel Arkoff, the classic filmmaker of the old school, I was a teenage werewolf. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Teenage rebel zombie killer, party. those kind of
Yeah.
So he goes he shows I want to do this movie with that involves like the King Arthur story and put it into this Renaissance fairs, and Sam Arkoff with his big giant cigars like, yeah, I'd like it, but I'd rather you have motorcycles. I can sell a motorcycle movie.
I'm digging it, man. This is exactly... So oh, my God!
And so, literally, it's a Renaissance fair on motorcycles.
Yo.
This is everything.
Wow, dude.
This is a movie people need to watch.
Okay.
Yeah, I need this.
And it's perfect Ed Harris, because he's not Hollywood Ed Harris. He's just hardcore, angry acting Ed Harris.
Walking around naked for the whole cold open here. Yeah, man.
Dude.
I love the tagline. The games, the romance, the spirit. Camelot is a state of mind.
Yes.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, when it goes from him just kind of like putting on his clothes in the woods. Oh, so obviously this is taking place in the 80s. Is that what the deal is? Because I was like,
yes.
If they really made the leap where this is like Arthurian times, but there's Mad Max level motorcycle shit going on in here. I was like, dude, how in the hell have I never heard of this before? Oh, my God.
I know, right? It's incredible. This is one of the best Ed Harris movies you'll ever watch in your entire life. So I had to talk.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Continue.
No, I was just going to say, this is like, if you really want an Ed Harris moment, this, you get everything. You get soft Ed Harris. You get angry Ed Harris. You get philosophical Ed Harris. You even get lovemaking Ed Harris. You get it all.
Wow.
My mind's always blown.
Yeah,
when I
legend.
You get a soft Harris and a hard Harris.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the open.
Ironically, this movie is now out on Blu-ray, which I find interesting.
Yes, it is.
I also find it interesting that IMDb has 143 images of this movie.
Like, wow. IMDb doesn't have 143 images of fucking Jurassic Park.
I know, like, right?
What is going on? Someone is pumping, like, they're greasing the right wheel at IMDb to get,
They get it. Well, I also love this movie because this is like, you know how James Cameron, if you watch all of his movies, pretty much a cast member from Aliens is always in one of his movies.
Yeah.
Right? This is George Romero's Aliens. Everybody from every George Romero movie is in this movie, Knight Riders. Tom Savini, Ken Foray, Dave MG, Patricia Tallman, Ed Harris. All of these actors are all in this movie.
We've already got If There Is No More Room in Hell, The dead will That's walk right. the earth from the
rain. And a cameo, a rare cameo by Stephen King and his wife Tabitha is actually, he's one of the crowd people in this movie.
This is nuts, dude.
Oh, wow. No, it's great. And it's literally, take away the horses, we have motorcycles. It's a Renaissance fair with motorcycles.
That's why they had genius. To set it in the 80s, I guess, though, because I honestly think I'm all about this time in filmmaking would have also been when they would have tried doing it. Hey, fuck it. Let's do Arthurian times with motorcycles running around. Let's do, an alternate universe where somehow Ash, taught everybody how to make engines or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, somehow we've got a science textbook here, and I'm going to bring the Arthurian knights right up to the 20th century as far as technology is concerned. You know what I mean? I kind of love the idea of putting it like a series. Like, we just watched a knight wake up from camping, and then he got on a motorcycle and rode to the fair. And it was during Arthurian times.
Well, and they said, first, George Romero was like, there's no way I'm doing that. A motorcycle, are you kidding me? And the more and more he thought about it, the more and more he's like, wow, that would actually be fun. And no other movie... There's been all these Camelot movies, but no other movie has done Camelot with motorcycles.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was genius. I don't know if that was pure luck. I have no idea, but damn it, is it fun to watch.
I lean toward it being genius, even if the movie fails in every way, which I'm sure it doesn't if you're recommending it. And it's got Ed Harris, so that's one way for sure it didn't fail.
I will make a plug again. Went to the same high school as Ed Harris, Tenafly High in New Jersey. Represent.
Nice.
You know, you have a little of an Ed Harris look, that's possible. Yeah. I'm just saying.
We maybe. Both go to the same barber these days.
But I'm just saying, maybe there's some Ed Harris in the family blood, Maybe you got some of the...
I'll take it. That's a phone call around the holidays I should start making. Like, hey, dude, remember your long-lost cousin Dave? What's going on, man?
I imagine if Ed Harris had a daughter and Mick Garris had a son and she got married to him, she'd be like Fiona Harris Garris or something. That'd be
this is the product of baby fucking right here.
I'm really creative. If I can't make a rhyming joke out of it, I'm pretty much out.
It's the Pineapple Express of people.
Well, this is kind of interesting. So, I would say my favorite director is George Romero.
Yeah.
Who's your guys' favorite director?
Good question. Dave, you want to go first?
Yeah, it's, it's hard for me to, I'm going to give the standard, film person's answer for why, in case my top five list sucks. It's hard for me to pick five. It's really hard for me to instantly have a go-to, but I do, and it's Michael Mann. He is, when you ask me who my favorite filmmaker is, hands down, I go to. If there's somebody who I really would want to shadow and learn how to make movies from, I kind of feel like what he pulls off with the obviously dialogue heavy stuff, but then these really sort of stylistic long shots and slow, deliberate scenes cut against the craziest action you can imagine. Heat. I was just somebody on Facebook said, if you for $1 million had to watch the same movie for 24 hours, I was like, Heat with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, hands down, I'm gonna watch that over and over.
That's it, just 24 hours?
I know, right? I was like, this isn't a challenge.
You beat me with a bat for 24 hours for and I fucking get $1 million.
That movie is 24 hours.
Exactly. Well, that's why you gotta pick a movie like Heat.
I'd
where
pick
you're
Magnolia because you'd only watch it 2.5 times.
It's not easy butchering people. It's hard work. There's a lot more like me.
We're talking to serial killers.
Serial killers!
New terminology.
Are criminals born, or are they formed?
How do we get ahead of crazy if we don't know how crazy thinks?
It's easier to ask for forgiveness than for permission.
Welcome to the Hollow Nine Mindhunter Podcast.
Hey, this is David Clone from the Hollow Nine Network, just checking in saying, hey, what's up to all our Radio Haver fans listening to us from all around the globe. We want to thank you for all of the live streams during our programming, and a big thanks to Drew Carson for giving us the slot. We've got some renovations going on at the home base at hollow9.com. Pretty soon, it's going to have a whole new look and feel, so just get ready. Until then, keep rocking over at Radio Haver.
There you go. Which gets me to my guys, actually. It really comes down to three people for me.
I like that.
You know, first thing I think of two, and it's a hard to choose right there between Robert Zemeckis and Oliver Stone. Very different filmmakers.
Wow.
Worlds apart. But
just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
holy
right.
Shit. You know, Forrest Gump, natural born
killers. In terms of a director's style, no one touches Oliver Stone for me.
Nice.
The way his films are cut, the way they're edited, the way they're shot, like he has such a unique vision, like something I've never seen. And there's great footage of him talking about developing, and his commentaries are also legendary.
Yeah.
For you film fans out there. You really want to learn fucking filmmaking, you could study Oliver Stone and just listen to the man talk. He's an entertaining guy. It's like Kevin Smith, you know, but from, again, very different angle. Really candid dude. There was a story about him editing JFK where he started to sort of develop a new editing style, and it's kind of like inspired by like French New Wave a little bit, but he sort of takes that and fucking runs with it. And if you look at, by the time he gets to Nixon, dude, no one edits movies like that, and it's so fucking brilliant. Nixon is, to me, one of the gold standards for biopics and for portrayals of living people. Anthony Hopkins doesn't look like Nixon. He doesn't sound like Nixon, but he fucking nails it, and that's a hard thing to do, man.
He does.
My choice for that exact phenomenon you're describing is another Oliver Stone film, but it's fucking Val Kilmer playing Jim Morrison in The Doors. It's like,
oh, right? Incredible. Shit. Yeah, another gold fucking standard, yeah, you know? And that's right on point, you know.
Absolutely.
Fucking. So the third guy for me, you know, and again, I really can't pick one. But the third guy is young Paul Thomas Anderson.
Nice.
Fucking Boogie Nights and Magnolia are so good. I could watch either of them every fucking day and never get sick of it.
Yeah.
You know, my life story is how badly I want to be Burt Reynolds in Boogie Nights. You know, but sadly,
who doesn't, man?
Sadly, the best I'll ever be is probably like Mark Wahlberg, coked out Mark Wahlberg, like, you know, not jerking off in a parking lot, not that bad, but like, you know, but like recording shitty songs, Mark Wahlberg, like
feel,
recording, you know,
feel,
you got the
feel,
touch,
feel,
Mark Wahlberg,
feel,
you know,
he,
yeah,
the
he,
got low standards, Chris.
Yeah, man. Well, at least it could have been worse. It could have been like, I'm going to be John C. Reilly's police officer for Magnolia.
Where the hell is my gun? I lost my gun. Oh, my God. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that I want to be a porn director. But when I say I want to be Burt Reynolds in Boogie Nights, Burt Reynolds is the father to this group of weirdos, to this band of misfits. They make their art and it's strange and they're proud of it. And, you know, they all lean on him for like a fatherly love and a fatherly, you know, you know, he's almost, you know, it's almost like a father knows best situation, you know?
Yeah.
And he's really the key that keeps these people from coming unglued. Like Mark Wahlberg without Jack Horner is fucked.
Oh yeah.
Julianne Moore without Mark, or without Burt Reynolds, she's fucked. Heather Graham without Burt, she's fucked. Everyone, Don Cheadle, he's fucked. Everyone's life is shit. But he helps them all come together and have what I consider to be a beautiful life. You know, I think there's no shame in sex work. There's no shame in making porn.
Right.
There's no shame in any of that shit. Anyways, but I do have slightly higher goals cinematically.
But you know, it's funny that you.
But
talk
I love his
about
speech about his speech. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
His fucking speech about, you know, you come into my house, my party, and tell me the future is video and not film. It's amateurs and not professionals. Like that shit gets me stoked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at any rate, you were going to say, Dave?
Well, it's funny because it's like the sense of that we needed to tack on that, you know, hey, look, there's no shame in this. They were saying that in a time where no one else was. You know what I mean? That movie in particular, we're humanizing the behind the scenes and in between filming aspects of what that lifestyle is. It's not what you think. It's not all fun and games, and it's not all nightmare either. It's this nice, you know, spectrum, and all of us could probably identify with different experiences in there that were just within our own industry. You know what I mean? Or within
Oh, for sure. Dude, we've all felt like Don Cheadle getting rejected at the bank, you know, at some point in life, whether it's a girl saying no, or it's a job that you didn't get, or an interview that went bad, or just a, you know, a speech you gave that you wish you'd done better, anything in life, you know, a meeting someone for the first time, you know, anything. But we've all had shit just go, you know, so far from what we want or what we expect. You know,
and it's funny because on the same token of that, when I think of like scenes in Heat, like one of the things I like about Michael Mann's like dialogue in his films is it feels very much like these are conversations you probably were sitting around if you had older, you know, friends or people in your family who were like the good old boys, like your uncle and his buddies. You don't really know what they do, and they're just sitting there talking and like, oh yeah, I remember when old Joey McAvoy used to say this, and meanwhile they're plotting a huge heist like right in front of you. You know what I mean? And then they're like, oh shit, I gotta go get my oil changed, I'll see you guys later. You know what I mean? And it's like so much normal mixed in with so much. I could be at the table next to this, and those guys who look like they're all having like a graduation celebration, they're actually plotting this huge bank heist for tomorrow. It's gonna be all over the news, you know.
I definitely had a few uncles that could have been doing that.
I
will say another Boogie Nights thing too. We could all be John Riley at certain points in our life, showing other people our weird magic.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you know, being like, yeah, Han Solo. People tell me I look like him.
Like, and then listen, we've man.
We've all been a fucking idiot in our lives, and he is one of the greatest cinematic idiots that there ever was. You know, from Casualties of War all the way up until fucking Boogie Nights and De Palma, man.
Holy shit, right? Oh. Yeah, we got to talk about The Godfather if we're talking about amazing directors. You know what I mean? Like, and Coppola, De Palma, that whole sort of, oh, I just see Stephen King. Yeah. That whole school of like the Italian filmmakers, like setting the stage.
Have you guys seen the Milius documentary on Amazon?
Oh yeah, no, it's great.
No, not yet.
Are you familiar with John Milius, Dave?
I'm sure should be. I know the name.
You
but I
should be.
I
yeah, he's the biggest name you fucking don't know in Hollywood. Like, I mean, this guy was. He started out as kind of a script doctor and shit. Like, he would come on to rewrite movies like Dirty Harry and come up with all the fucking great lines and shit. He wrote that speech for Spielberg, the whole Jaws scene where they're talking about the boat going down and the fucking sailors getting eaten. He wrote tons of fucking classic shit. What, Bonnie and Clyde? He was one of the highest paid screenwriters at one point. But he was also kind of a right-wing conservative dude.
God, he did that
just because he couldn't be accepted by the left wing. And he even admits it. He's like, if they would have made me their king, I would have totally been left wing. My values are actually more like them. But because, you know, I wasn't fucking cool enough or, you know, sexy enough that I fucking fit in over here.
Can't beat him, join him.
He directed Conan the Barbarian. He made Arnold. I'm sorry, what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say, I love John Milius. You know, Red Dawn
and all these.
But all of his, you know, what I love. You know, Chris and I, you and I were talking about this earlier about how, you know, the auteur theory, and sometimes do you buy into this idea? And there are some that it's not just the films that like the look of the film or the cinematography or. I think the auteur theory could also be themes too, and his themes, you know, his films don't look alike. You know, Red Dawn and Conan are very different movies, but that kind of hardcore right-winged approach to life is always in his movies. You know, I mean, Red Dawn. Come on.
He got slammed for that movie, basically killed his career, even though it was a success. You know, that, like, when you think of people coming down on Rambo and shit like that, like, they did not come down as hard on Rambo as they came down on fucking Red Dawn, man. Red Dawn got just pulverized by it was like a news story. It was like as big as the fucking murders in the Twilight Zone set. Like, it was a huge deal just that someone had the audacity to make this right-wing fantasy movie. you know, which I didn't know as a kid watching it. I just thought it was a cool teenage fucking kick-ass movie.
It's just
movie,
an action
you know?
Movie. But but great. He was, you know, he was definitely in the right place at the right time for the hardcore Reagan era 80s movie.
And it became his undoing, which is kind of beautiful in a sense, you know. I mean, I don't mean that as a slam against the Reagan or the right or anything. I just think, you know, I think it's when someone dives so deep into something that it just kind of undoes them. You know, but they do it their way. I don't know. This is beauty of that. Like we were talking earlier about Mickey Rourke refusing to be the puppet. You know, that's just it's kind of beautiful. You know, like he made some really cool movies that he wouldn't have made if he did what Hollywood wanted him to do.
Right.
You know, Angel Heart, Barfly,
and what's the Michael Cimino one? The Year of the Dragon.
Year of the Dragon. Wow. Yeah. Jeez. Now that's a director who. Oh my God.
Yeah. Exactly. Same thing. Beautiful.
The only thing that bugs me about the Criterion collection disc about Heaven's Gate is they do not talk about what that movie really did to Hollywood. Years ago, I remember reading a book about Heaven's Gate and just, I mean, how much that movie changed Hollywood. Of course, everybody will say, Heaven's Gate's what killed the director era of the 1970s.
It totally did.
And I do think that attitude of some directors during that period, I don't think it was just Heaven's Gate. I mean, it was, you know, Francis Ford Coppola on Apocalypse Now shooting 300 and something days and losing his mind as well as half his body.
And that's just fucking beautiful, man.
No, it is. It's one of the best movies about... Well, I'm going to say something controversial.
Really?
I think Apocalypse Now is one of the most beautiful war movies that isn't really about war.
Yeah, I gotcha. I get what that means.
Totally.
And, you know, because if you watch that movie, there's not really... You think of a war movie, you think of, you know, the explosion and the... But it's really actually Francis Ford Coppola saying how bad this really is, which is actually interesting if you look at some... De Palma did the same thing with Casualties of War.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollownine.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollownine.com or at hollownine podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine. The New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding. The atmosphere you guys have created. New Jersey HorrorCon was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Love it.
And you guys are doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, you know, of horror and stuff in general.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's Carmen Electra.
Hey.
We are all giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing. Carmen Electra,
absolutely. Be well. Safe. Thank you so much.
Love.
Have a good one. Be well. So you can't see it on radio, but
oh
she's
my
still
God.
Got it.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
My wife right
still
there.
Got it.
My wife gets the picture of Carmen Electra.
The wife does it. There you go, wife. Good job, wife. That's a keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am.
This place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did a lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table and I got to take her all around.
It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit so I can see you.
Oh, all right.
Keep an eye on you. I saw you and I thought, this guy knows everything. Terrific sound in here with
cool.
you.
Thank yeah. you. Thank you. Yeah, it's
really
amazing
clear.
How it... Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's great that you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We get to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey. I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still friends. That's good.
Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector De La Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Dylan Ted's. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember
those
films.
Oh my god, those movies. I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
No
like,
triumphant.
I want to go back $2, man. Right? I have walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic. Oh. But of course, I'm
we need some language lessons.
Dave the Clone from the Hollow Knight Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hollow9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.